So yeah, I'm just going to talk to you a little bit, give you a little summary about a grazing project that we just finished up at Virginia Tech. Have to acknowledge a couple people here. This is most of the stuff I'm going to present was my grad student's work, Robert Bauer. He got a job though, couldn't be here for the meetings. And Stephanie Yamada did a lot of the soils work, and I'm going to show you some of that. And she's an undergraduate student. She was actually here at the meetings as a Golden Opportunity Scholar. And Mike Strickland's a soil microbial ecologist that contributed to this study. So the study is pretty simple, at least on paper. Basically, what we were doing was comparing three types of grazing systems, MOB, or high-density type rotational grazing, sort of standard rotational grazing, and continuous grazing. And the whole sort of rationale behind this study really centered around around MOB grazing. And really, probably a lot of you know, probably, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, started hearing a lot about MOB grazing. It's going to save the world, cure climate, global climate change, and make everybody happy and do all these wonderful things. But there's really no data out there to support or refute MOB type grazing. So I wanted to try to do a study and at least get some data on how that sort of system would work in Virginia compared with these other grazing systems. So what is MOB stocking or MOB grazing? Well, as far as I can tell, it kind of depends on who you ask. It's, of course, a high density of animals and usually short duration grazing bouts. But I think really one of the key elements are these relatively long rest periods. And in our part of the world, where at least the studies we're doing, we're averaging between 60, 90, maybe 100 days between our grazing bouts. And I know out west, that may be relatively short with some of the MOB stocking I've heard about. You may just MOB stock once a year, potentially. But that's what we're doing in our kind of environment where we have a lot of rainfall, a lot of regrowth. And again, with MOB stock, you don't graze everything down to a tabletop, but consume what the animals consume, about 60%, and leave the rest either trampled or standing. So that's the objectives were pretty straightforward. We were interested in comparing these three systems and their effect on herbage mass and herbage productivity, nutritive value, of course. And in terms of plant species composition, we were particularly interested in how this the grazing systems would affect clover persistence and establishment, in addition to other plant species variables. And because NRCS in particular was interested in soil health, we included some soil variables and some variables that would indicate potential carbon sequestration, and I'll show you some of that. We're actually working on in three locations in Virginia. I'm going to talk primarily about two of these locations. One, we have demonstration farm outside of Blacksburg, and another one up here in the Shenandoah Valley in Raphine. These are our farms that Virginia Tech is actually leasing. And then we have the other research station at Steele's Tavern, Virginia, which is basically right across the highway from our demonstration farm. And I'm going to primarily be talking about these two sites here. So let me just show you a photograph of the demonstration sites. We weren't supposed to do research because this is a conservation innovation grant. So don't tell NRCS that we actually did some research on this, but not replicated at the site. This is about a 20-acre site with continuous grazing. We have rotational grazing in 8 paddocks, moving cows about every 3 days. And in terms of MOB stocking, we trucked cows in and moved them through. This is about a 3.5-acre pasture in these 6 strips and move them through there over about a 3-day span of time. And I'll show you the stocking densities that we were using. But basically, with the MOB stock, we're bringing them in twice a year, in beginning of June and then at the end of September and doing the mob stalking. It's the other demonstration farm in the Shenandoah Valley, where again we have rotational stocking with the eight paddocks here, mob stocking with these 11 small, I think these are 0.2 acre paddocks. We actually, number 12 is actually not a part of that. And we have several continuously grazed pastures, and I won't talk too much about what we're doing, but we are just comparing one of those with the other two systems. And this is a little bit bigger site, it's about 60 acres or so, and again with the mob stocking, basically bringing in steers, this time beef steers, and mobbing those paddocks, moving through every day over about a 12-day period, and doing that twice a year in June and in September. I probably don't have enough time to talk about it, but more recently we also started a study, where a replicated study, where we're actually comparing these three grazing systems with in-site replication, continuous. These are 16-acre pastures with continuous grazing. Again, eight pastures with rotational stocking. And then we have a 64 paddock rotation where we, and this is actually a cow-calf system that we're doing year-round grazing. And so we're doing that. And if I have time, maybe I'll talk about that. That's part of the resiliency part of that that title. But that's a more recent study. The two demonstration sites, we started this work in 2013. The replicated study, we started in 2014. And this is just a picture of one of the farm here in Raffi. It's pretty typical Virginia-type rolling pasture. The soils were silt loams, not really very high fertility, pretty rocky, pretty rough. Before we started the study, we adjusted soil fertility, pH, and P and K. We didn't add any nitrogen, but we did frost seed red and white clover at the beginning of the study. So that's what we wanted to look at, to see how that would work. And so this is the stocking density. We averaged about 270 cows per hectare, which translated into about 130,000 pounds per acre, and I've got some flack that's not high enough of a stocking density to actually do, you know, true mob grazing. And okay, well, that's okay, you can criticize me for that, but that's what we're doing. Rotational and then a continuous grazing, which is pretty conservative, pretty standard stocking density. So in all these systems, the stocking density is varied, but our stocking rate is approximately the same among the three systems that we're comparing. And in the sake of time, I won't go into a lot of detail on the methods of what we did, but I'll try to fill you in on that as we go along, or if you have any questions, you can ask me. But let me just get into the data here. So again, this is our first objective, and this is Robert's work starting in 2013. These are months of the growing season, standing. It's just standing herbage mass collected every month. The green is the mob, and the blue and red are the continuous and rotational. And you can see we get these kind of spikes of biomass production. That's those long rest periods that we're achieving there with the mob stocking. And in terms of overall three-year average, there was a statistical difference. There was more herbage mass under mob stocking compared to the other two. It's not a big difference, but it was statistically significant. Not exactly sure why this is, but probably a combination of potentially maybe increased productivity or grass growth, combined with the fact that maybe with a lot of this trampling, there's more forage actually being left on the mob stocked pastures. But we're kind of still working on that data. This is nutritive value. This is crude protein. Again, the same setup here, the 3 years and the months. The green is the mob stocking, and blue and red are the other two. And this is crude protein, but the other standard forage indices really showed the same sort of pattern. And basically what we found here, if you look at the means, that we generally found higher nutritive value forage under continuous stocking compared to the other two. Nutritive value under mob stocking with these long rest periods actually was pretty good, but you can see here towards 2015 we're kind of reaching that kind of 9% protein level where we get into trouble there. I think the forage nutritive value was starting to decline, but still, you know, pretty good for mob stocking. And this is the main reason we found the difference with the continuous grazing and the short stubble height, able to maintain a lot of white clover under continuous stocking. These are means over 3 years. We actually ended up with a little bit of clover under mob stocking. I didn't think we'd end up with any at all. And in fact, there's a lot of variability under mob stocking, but we actually found some pretty decent red clover establishment under mob stocking, even though it wasn't significant. And actually this year, 2015, we had a lot of rainfall, and under mob stocking, this is actually our site that was, this is our replicated study, and we're still kind of working on this data. We got tremendous amounts of red clover establishing. So you certainly can establish a lot of particularly red clover under mob stocking if you manage it right. So what about the soil health stuff and carbon sequestration? Well, my working hypothesis is, again, with these long rest periods, you let all this grass grow and accumulate, and you go in there with a pretty high density of animals and move them through there pretty quickly, and you know, one day it looks, can't see it that well. The paddock looks something like this, and my hypothesis is that the long rest period compared with these the short grazing bouts and perhaps more even distribution of manure and urine might promote more root growth, maybe more root turnover, and that might contribute to indices of carbon sequestration. And so we got some preliminary data in 2013 after our first year. This is mob or high-density rotational grazing, rotational and continuous grazing. This is mineralizable carbon or a pretty labile pool of carbon, about 33% higher under mob stocking compared with continuous grazing. And so we were really excited about this and like, well, this, maybe there is actually something going on. But again, there's preliminaries underlined for a reason. And this is some of the data that Stephanie worked on this summer. And these are the carbon pools here in 2015. The two bars are the two farms, the two demonstration farms. And these are three of the carbon pools, total carbon, particular organic matter carbon, and microbial carbon. And notice the differences in the scales there. And then the three grazing systems. And what you can see there, a pretty strong site by treatment interaction. I mean, there's something going on at the Benson farm and something else going on here at the Price's Fork farm, but clearly the really not seeing any difference among the grazing systems, but really kind of being over-swamped by the site effects. And we were really terribly surprised by this. Really didn't think we would see big differences in these sort of carbon sequestration indices yet. And all these soils were sampled to about 6 inches in depth. So we didn't take deep. All right, four. I got it wrong. Okay. 4 inches in depth. There's a lot of rocks in these. Stephanie's correcting me back there. So in conclusion, over the 3 years, we found that mob stock pastures did accumulate more forage. Again, that may be a combination of perhaps increased productivity or just the fact that with the mob stocking or trampling, actually leaving more forage on the ground. Continuous grazing promoted a lot of white clover, and that resulted in higher nutritive value overall. But nutritive value was actually generally quite adequate for our beef cows under mob and rotational stocking. At least in terms of clovers, plant species composition did respond to these different management types. And particularly red clover seems to be, as you might anticipate, better for mob type stocking with these long rest periods than white clover. But still, we were able to get a little bit of clover into these mob stock pastures, which we were actually kind of surprised at. And the indices so far, potential carbon sequestration, really did not differ among the grazing systems, at least yet. And again, we're only 3 years into this project, and you know, may take a few more years for the grazing systems to really start to show themselves. But so far, the site effects are kind of overwhelming any of those. We have some interesting data on nitrogen, but I'll just stop there and take any questions. I don't think so. I think the legumes were primarily from the overseeded clover. I don't think they were really coming in from the seed bank too much. Yeah, Matt?
Could you measure like the amount of forage consumed by the animals in the amount of back to kind of getting the soil and trampled under the system?
Right. Let's see. This is not bulk density, but this is actually soil compaction. And the green is actually the under mob stocking, the other two. That's depth and soil penetration resistance. And under mob stocking, there was an index of higher soil compaction down to about 20 centimeters. Probably not really biologically relevant, though. You have to get really above 20,000 kilopascals to really affect root distance. And yeah, Robert did try to measure utilization, and it really didn't. I have to see that data. I haven't seen it yet. Yes?
How you define forage in this case is really important. Define it from an animal perspective, a human guessing the animal perspective.
How did I define forage?
The human guessing the animal considered forage, or was it really the animal? Like insulated animals liking it?
Well, we considered any kind of above ground herbage, vegetative material, forage from a plant. That's how we defined it. So, did you have another question?
Or? No.
Okay. Yeah.
From more so white and red clover to temptation together.
Oh, I don't remember off the top of my head.
Is it a Ladino or an intermediate?
Oh, it's a Ladino and intermediate. Yeah.
No,
I mean medium red clover and Ladino. Right. Yeah, we're going to try to keep at least the mob and continuous grazing going for as long as I can. But we'll probably take out the rotational part of that because of funding. And
so do you have a hypothesis related to the soil, so soluble carbon in the two systems?
Yeah, I mean, my hypothesis is over time, I think under mob stocking, we should start to see, I think with more root turnover, potentially more of the soluble carbon pools increasing, I would think, over time, and potentially with more, again, with the mob stocking, you may have more even distribution of manure and urine, and some of our data on nitrogen that we collected going out from on a transect from a watering area seems to indicate that there may be a little bit more even distribution of manure and urine. So I think with time, we might start to see some differences.
One more short question.
Yes, Liz.
Yes, I'm looking for more studies done, measurements done.
We're doing the animal work on the replicated study that we just started. We couldn't do that on the two demonstration sites because we were just mobbing twice a year, so it wouldn't really be meaningful. So, but we are doing that with our year-round system. So.
This is really interesting. We're going to continue.